We are continuing in our series, Fruit of the Spirit. And I want to tell you, I have been continually repenting to the Lord because I thought this was going to be not a tough sermon series, right? Like, it's one word a week, right? It's just a word study, right? Y'all, there's some theology happening. Like, each one of these could be a series, and we're not doing that. But today, we're going to talk about peace. And we've been reading the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5 every week. We're going to move past that. We have a lot of scripture to cover today. If Jeremiah is as amazing as he normally is, it'll be there. But I need you to know I have once again stretched this team as God worked on this word all week long, all the way from 4 a.m. until y'all know when I have a ponytail in. It was a morning, right? So in that, we want to jump in because today we're going to talk about peace. And I hope that it resonated with you as we worshiped and we sang and we talked and praised the Prince of Peace. So I want to start us by reading together Isaiah 9:7. Because, look, if we're going to understand how to walk in step with the Spirit and have the characteristic of peace through us, we have to understand what it is, where it comes from, and how we actually receive it and hold on to it. Amen, church? Amen. All right, so read with me Isaiah 9:7. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing it, holding it with justice and righteousness. From that time on and forever, the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Let's see. Yes. I actually also need us to read Isaiah 9:6, which I'm going to read to you. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, followed by what we just read. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. So what exactly is he peace of? Or prince of, I mean? Peace, right? Sorry, wow, y'all, I'm spinning this morning. So I want us to understand, because I think we have a kind of kumbaya idea of peace. We have a little, like, peace is just, like, that's peace. And peace is so much richer and so much deeper than that. So I want to give you the Hebrew shalom. I want to give you some of the definitions of what this word meant when the prophet said, one will come who will be the Prince of Peace. He will be the Prince of wholeness, safety, soundness, health, completeness, a state of totality, salvation, and health. Once again, a state of lack of disease and a state of wholeness or well-being. See, the Prince of Peace just didn't come so you could, like, be calm, because peace is more than calm. The Prince of Peace came so that we could be whole, so that we could be complete, so that we could be not lacking. And if we move over to the Greek, peace, I'm not even going to try to pronounce it, peace, harmony, order, a state of freedom from anxiety and inner turmoil, peace from worry, freedom from worry. Who needs some peace? Right? Because calm can steady the moment, but peace can steady our lives. The world wants peace. We sing about it, like you ask somebody what their wish is, like peace on earth. But the world doesn't understand peace. And quite frankly, sometimes, not Bridge Church, but the Big C Church, I think we don't understand peace so well either, because we're seeking calm from God, and we need peace from God. So the first thing I want to ask is, do we understand our lack of peace? Do we understand why there is an absence of peace in our lives? Do we understand why we don't have wholeness and completeness? And if we want to understand that, we actually have to go back to the beginning. Because Genesis 1, 26 and 27, and I'm going to abbreviate 26, but it says, God said, then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness. So God created mankind in his own image, and in the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. When we were created in the image of God, we were whole. We had peace. There was nothing lacking in the totality of who we are. We were created in the image of a perfect creator. And we walked in undisturbed relationship with the creator. God walked in the garden with Adam and Eve. He talked to them. He conversed with them. He visited them. There was no separation. And the one who formed us breathed life into us. Amen. To walk with us and talk with us. And then there was a serpent. And then there was another fruit. And the serpent held the fruit, and it wasn't the fruit of the Spirit. And the serpent tempted, and we looked at something shiny and sparkly that promised something that mankind already had. And we let go of our wholeness to take hold of something less than whole. And in our free will, we surrendered our peace. Now I want to tell you, from that moment, Scripture began speaking and teaching of the one who would come to restore our peace. The Prince of Peace just doesn't show up in Isaiah. God literally demonstrates in Genesis his desire to protect mankind as he makes the first sacrifice of the animals to clothe Adam and Eve, even as he ushers them out of the garden as a consequence for their choices. He protects them, and he begins to point to the one who would restore. Here's the thing, and it goes back to last week blowing my mind with the joy of Christ being so great, us, that he would endure the cross. When it says, let us make mankind in our image, the us knew that we would let go of our wholeness to take something less than from the beginning, and the us knew what it would cost them. And they still created us. That's a heavy truth, but oh, does it bring freedom? Oh, does it bring comfort? So we're not going to, y'all are like, oh man, she's starting in Genesis and we're going to Galatians. It's going to be a long day. I'm going to skip us forward. And we're going to let Ephesians, Paul, in the book of Ephesians, summarize for us what peace really is and the how and the why of the Prince of Peace. Read with me Ephesians 2. 13 to 18, let me take my reading. Y'all know when I skip words, it's because my reading glasses are on and the screen's blurry, right? So let me do that. All right, ready to go? At home, you got your reading voices on? Okay. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. We get our wholeness back through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ gave everything for us on the cross, defeated death, restored to life so that he could offer us life. But that requires a response from us. Like, peace is right here. The world that is desperately seeking peace, it's sitting here. It's not even on a forbidden tree they're not supposed to touch. It's right there waiting to be received. The problem is the world wants peace without the Prince of Peace. And it doesn't exist. Church, sometimes we want peace without the Prince of Peace. We'll dig into that in a little bit. And do not let one political shenanigan ring in your ear when I say this, because it's got nothing to do with it, okay? But you can't have the kingdom without the king. And I don't care what the world needs. Like, I mean, I don't care what the world needs for world governance. We need wholeness in our hearts. We need wholeness in our spirits. We need to be complete again. And to be a kingdom kid that is complete, you have to have King Jesus ruling on your heart. And when we say yes to Jesus, right? When we say yes, then things shift. John 20, I'm going to read it to you, 19 to 22. This is right after Christ's resurrection. The disciples are still, like, you haven't seen him yet. Like, they're still freaking out. And so I'm just going to read to you. On the evening of the first day of that week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, not peace. Sorry, I added that. That was commentary, not peace. It's up there. Should be. Yep. Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." The last time they saw him was on the cross, taking his body to the tomb. They're locked away, waiting like they were told, go and wait. And he shows up and he says, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." Catch this. And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." I'm going to circle back to Genesis. I read for you from Genesis 1. Genesis 2:7 is the second version of the story, the creation story. And it says in chapter 2, verse 7, "Then the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living being." Guys, we're traveling some big theology today, but I want you to get it. In the beginning, God created and breathed the breath of life into us. We sacrificed, we gave up as mankind our wholeness to take some hold of something less than. Through Jesus, our wholeness is restored. And when we say yes to that gift, then the breath of life is once again breathed into us and our spirit man comes to life, new life in Jesus Christ. And in that, we have a peace that surpasses all understanding. Church, we got to understand that. Like, if you don't, then you're living in the shallows. And this is not a hard, deep truth. This is a nurturing, filling, restoring deep truth that we want to have and hold on to. So we don't just find a king, right? But in Christ, we are returned to our position of peace. In Christ, through the Holy Spirit, we are returned to that place where God breathed the breath of life into their bodies and spirits. Now the Holy Spirit is within us and our spirit is alive. And that is awesome, and that is good, and that is fantastic. But if we're keeping it real, because there's not a lot of point in Scripture without keeping it real, right? Like, God doesn't want to sit on a shelf and look pretty in a big book. He wants to transform our hearts. So that takes some reality check. If believers are restored to a position of peace in Jesus, then why don't we as believers live in a state of peace? What steals our peace? Why are we anxious? Why are we unsettled? What are the things that rob us of our peace? So I'm going to tell you, actually, I'm just going to tell you right now, we're going to end on some happy, happy, rah, rah verses, okay? Everybody better say amen, because you're going to want to hold on to that, okay? If I try to cut the sermon short, you better be like, stop where you are, but bring us the happy, happy, joy, joy, rah, rah. We need that, because we got to do some hard work to get there. So if I go back, and that, by the way, that slide mess up was completely mine. If I go back to the Isaiah 9, 6, and 7, which is where we started because I messed up, if we go back to that Isaiah passage, it says, "For us, to us a child is born, the son is given, the government will be on his shoulders, everlasting father, prince of peace," right? Wonderful counselor, mighty God, prince of peace. It goes on to say, "Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end." Now, we have the government will be on his shoulders, and the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end, right? But we think of that, and we think in a very 21st century governments, like we think of a government as a thing. And I need us to understand what this word actually is. Because the word Mishra, it means dominion, dominance, power, or sovereignty through legal authority. In other words, not a takeover. Sovereignty through legal authority, power, and dominion through legal authority. We have to understand that it's not just here where peace and authority are tied together. Biblical peace is dependent on biblical authority. And if you are spinning out of control in your life outside of peace, then I have to ask, where is the biblical authority in your life? Is there somewhere where the two are not congruent? Because I know in my own life, that's the problem, but I don't even have to look at me or anyone else. It says in Scripture, Colossians 3:15, let the peace of Christ rule your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace and be thankful. See, we want the peace of Christ to dwell in our hearts. We want the peace of Christ to minister to our hearts. We want the peace of Christ to remind our hearts of the beautiful truth of what Jesus did for us. But do we want the peace of Christ to rule? To govern with legal authority to dictate what we do? So that as we step through our circumstances and our decisions and our days, we're being ruled by the peace of Christ, which comes with his authority. See, too often today, and I know I'm not talking to you all, just talking to me and the rest of the church in North America. That's all. Too often, as Christians, we want the privileges of the kingdom while we treat it like a democracy. As Dave Ramsey would say, for everybody in financial peace, we want to ish it. Ish. Scripture-ish. Bible-ish. Holiness-ish. And that's not kingdom. if we want to walk in a state of peace, then we can't treat our faith like the Brits treat their monarchy. Some of y'all may not be as familiar with that, right? Because the British people have a royal family, but they also have a parliament, and parliament governs, parliament rules, parliament has the legal authority, and the royal family has been reduced to tradition and pomp and circumstance. And the Brits love it. Look, I lived over there for 3 years. I loved it. I still, man, if there's a royal wedding on, I'm in. Quite frankly, if there's a royal funeral on, I'm in. The pomp and circumstance are beautiful. Like, it's a wonderful thing. And they love the pomp and circumstance. And it's great for weddings and funerals and parades. And they love to pick up the papers. They love to pick up the paper and read about it. They don't even mind paying their taxes to it to make sure it's still there to make them feel good. Because we want to keep the fairy tale alive, so we'll keep it at taxes. We won't call it tithes. But what happens if Charles shows up and tries to actually tell them how to live their lives? No. What happens, right? Oh, that's King Charles. Not King Charles. I'm going to say they might respond better to you telling them how to live their lives than King Charles telling them how to live their lives. I didn't even think about that when I was writing that, Charles. Oh, my, my, my. For our online family, Charles would like the magic mirror. Yeah. Because, see, they don't want him showing up, telling them how to live their lives and how to manage their bills and prioritize things, how to treat their wives or husbands or kids. That ain't never going to happen. But see, if we're going to live in a state of peace as kingdom kids, then we got to leave the parliament out of it and submit to the king. The Prince of Peace didn't come to be a figurehead in your life. The Prince of Peace didn't die to be a figurehead in my life. He came to save you, restore you, transform you from death to life. Not from crazy to calm. From incomplete to complete, from broken to whole. Are we okay, church? All right, I'm going to give you another verse on peace. This is a Jesus verse on peace, like he said it, right? We're quoting the Prince of Peace. And before you freak out, it's going to be okay, all right? Because this isn't one that we preach a whole lot. It's just a lot to explain. It's a little uncomfortable. You guys ready to be uncomfortable? For those who are, good job. For the rest of you, sorry, it's happening anyway. Let's read. All right, Matthew 10:34. Do we have it or do I need? Oh, we don't have this one. All right, ready to take it in? I'm going to read it to you. This is Jesus talking. Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. Now, wait a minute. Prince of Peace. Why did the Prince of Peace, who said to the disciples, "Peace be with you, and I am your peace," just say, "I didn't come to bring peace to the world, but a sword? I want to remind you, what's the sword of God? What's the sword? Ephesians 6, 17, 18. Sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. See, Jesus goes on in Matthew to explain the sword. The sword's come to divide. He's come to separate those who believe from those who don't. He's come to separate those who will prioritize him from those who won't. He's come to separate those who will submit to his authority from those who won't. And that same question applies to us today. And when we are choosing him, when we are prioritizing him, when we are saying yes to Jesus, then the sword, we're good. We're made whole, right? Mm. I want to circle back. Just a second. I know it's a hard truth. We live in a democracy where we fight for our freedom. 60% or more of this congregation has worn a uniform to defend our freedom. And the thought of saying we have to submit to gain peace, we have to walk under the authority of God to gain the peace. We don't have to do it to gain our salvation. We just have to say yes to Jesus and we have our salvation and our eternal life. But if we actually want to walk in that state of peace, then we have to allow him governance and sovereignty in our life. We don't live in a constant state of peace when we pick and choose where God has authority in our lives. We live in a puddle of peace instead of a river of peace. And puddles dry up, or we have to walk out of them. Romans 8, 5 through 7 said, those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires, keeping in step with the Spirit. Again, I just added that, right? Okay. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. We can't live the world's way and expect to walk in a state of peace. We have to live God's way. Now, church, I'm just going to say it. Actually, I think we have it written up there. Is there a point up there? We want the glory. Yeah, we want the glory of the crown without the authority of the sword. But it's the authority of the sword or the word that brings peace. God doesn't desire us to live a skimpy life. He desires us to live an abundant life. God wants you and me to live an abundant life. But we can't do that without submitting to the authority of the Word of God. Are we okay? I know we got a lot of scripture today, y'all. These word studies, I'm telling you. Whew! But will they change our life? Will they transform our heart? Isaiah 48, 17 and 18 says, this is what the Lord says. Now, the prophet is talking to the nation of Israel. They are just a hot mess, and they are continually getting warnings and news, and they're off in, they're separated. All the things are happening, and he's talking to them in Isaiah 48, 17 and 18, and it says, this is what the Lord says, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord your God who teaches you what is best for you. Pause. Not teaches you how to have a miserable, no fun life. Back to the passage. Who teaches you what is best for you. Who directs you in the way you should go. If you had only paid attention to my commands, your peace would have been like a river and your well-being like the waves of the sea. See, I want to flow in that. And I mentioned this to the team this morning as we were getting ready for service, but peace like a river, rivers aren't still. I mean, there is definitely be still and know that I am God. I'm not saying any of that is wrong. It absolutely isn't. But rivers aren't still. They cut through mountains. They make canyons. They do all kinds of stuff. They change landscape. They upend things sometimes. But see, no matter what is going on, no matter how crazy the flow of our lives are, no matter what God is calling us to do, whether it's to cut a new path or we're going through a flood stage or we're going through a drought or the river's calm, whatever it is, it's the peace that's guaranteed with it that makes the situation okay. It's not about the circumstance. It's about being in the flow of God's peace. And the reality is that peace doesn't ignore truth. Peace flows from truth. And if we want peace in our lives, then we have to get into and embrace this truth. And the areas where we aren't at peace, if we will apply this word, we will find peace. And it may not be easy, but it'll be peace. And it may not be fun at first, but it'll be peace. So I have a question. What circumstance or situation are you going through in your life right now that is lacking peace? And are you dealing with it? Or are you ignoring it? I don't know about y'all, but sometimes as humans, I find we want to bury our head in the sand and ignore the problem. I'll just put my blinders on. There's a problem. There's a conflict. I don't like conflict. I don't want to deal with the conflict. I'm speaking for general humanity, by the way. I know some of you in the room are like, Pastor Jen, that is not true. You will step into conflict in a heartbeat. Godly conflict. I don't have time for something that's not, because godly conflict brings godly reactions and responses that bring godly transformation, and that is good. Amen, church? Okay. But we want to bury our heads in the sand, and we don't want to deal with the conflict. And so we don't look at it. We don't put it up before the word. We don't even go to God with it. And we just pretend there's peace in our life when there's really not. You guys, that's peacekeeping. And Jesus doesn't call us to peacekeeping. He calls us to be peacemakers. Amen. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will inherit the kingdom of God. He calls us to be peacemakers. What's the difference? God talks about that too, Jeremiah 8, 8 through 8 and 11. How can you say we are wise? This is God talking to them again. How can you say we are wise, for we have the law of the Lord? Pay attention, church. We have the law of the Lord. When actually the lying pens of the scribes have handled it falsely. They dress the wounds of my people as though it were not serious. Peace, peace, they say, when there is no peace. I'm going to translate that into Pastor Jen speak. We can have it all day. But if we don't apply it, then we're speaking a false peace over our lives instead of finding a solution. Again, Jesus doesn't call us to be peacekeepers. He calls us to be peacemakers. And you might say, well, what exactly is the difference? I mean, is it just ignoring it? Peacekeepers ignore the problem and just try to keep it calm. Peacekeepers don't address what's really broken. They don't address the conflict. They don't address the source of all the aggravation. They just keep the two sides at bay. Any moms in the room ever done that? You don't have to raise your hand. I'll raise mine. I've repented to my husband and my kids. Like, just don't upset dad. Just don't upset the kids. Let me just get in the middle and make everything calm. Oh, how about we have a family meeting and actually deal with why everybody's upset? Maybe that would work a little better. How about we do that in our own lives? It's kind of funny, as a former military person, sometimes NATO peacekeeping, well, your military people will grumble about it. Anyway, peacekeepers in NATO, they don't keep the peace. They don't make peace. It doesn't work. Like, they don't carry weapons. There's no consequences, and they don't deal with the problems. They just, you stay on that side, and you stay on that side. You know what the result of that in world history is? In Bosnia, NATO peacekeepers were unable to prevent a massacre of over 8,000 Bosnian Muslim men and boys. Before we went back into Afghanistan, peacekeepers tried to keep the peace in Afghanistan for 20 years. Pulled out, failed. They were supposed to keep the peace with the Taliban. They resurged. I'm not even going to say any more about that. Kosovo, peacekeepers. Didn't work. Libya, Haiti, not working. You can't keep peace, church. If there is something that is not resolved in your life, if there's something that you are struggling with, if every time you walk into a situation, it is all the angst, you are not being the peacemaker Jesus Christ called you to be. And let me give you a better, more encouraging word, that he has equipped you to be, that he created you to be, that he empowered you to be. And that doesn't mean that the situation's necessarily going to get better because you aren't the only one in the situation. But it means you can apply God's word, you can seek him. We're going to talk about some of those things real quick, but you can do all that and you can find peace in the midst of the storm. I'll go back to something Theo said during our worship night right after the plane crash. Jesus didn't stop the storm. He just showed up to be with the disciples in it. And in that, there was peace. There was peace. So you have to confront the problem. You can take it to God. We take it to him for his comfort, for his authority, and for his wisdom. I told you I was going to give you some feel-good verses. Philippians 4, 6 and 7, read with me. Y'all need to read some happy stuff. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding. Pause. I want you to think about the hard places in your life. If you need to take a moment and close your eyes, I want you to think of where it is just tough and uncomfortable, and there's anxiety, and there's stress, and there's trouble, and there's everything icky and nasty. With thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus. By the way, it doesn't say we'll make the situation go away. But it says that the peace of God, the wholeness of God, the health of God will guard, put a perimeter around, protect, let nothing through, guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Isaiah 26:3 says, you will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. Perfect peace. You guys, I know it's some work. Like, most of you know my life was a train wreck. A whole lot had to change. And it's not smooth sailing now. We're not on the Amtrak Express up to Boston, right? Like, it's the bullet train, whatever that is. We're not on that. It's still not perfect. But the more work you do, the better it gets. Peace of God sustains abundant life. And I know you got to work for it, but it is the substance of abundant life. It keeps you in perfect peace. It guards your heart. It guards your mind. It protects you and it envelops you. And the peace that surpasses all understanding that is available to everyone is there. We just have to stop fighting for calm and remember the process for peace. Yesterday, we were at a funeral. Good friends of ours, Kenny and Gay, they were on our board. Kenny was on our board. It's Felicia's mom and dad. Their best friend passed away a week ago Friday. And we were at the service. I want to tell you, when we let the peace of God, the authority of God, rule our lives, then a peace that surpasses all understanding is tangible. Because this man People were grieving, but there were over 400 people. That was the size of New Life, right? Easy? Yeah, over 400 people there. This place was packed. It was almost standing room only. There were a line of pastors. They ushered the clergy in, and we kind of went around, and there were all these people. But testimony after testimony after testimony was that Dr. Richard Love, James Richard Love, James Ricardo Love, sorry, Dr. Love, because that's what we always called him. But it sounds a little, yeah, anyway. He was a mighty man of God. He memorized the New Testament. Like, I will never in my life on this earth memorize the but he lived it, he breathed it, and because of that, there were hundreds of lives present, transformed in peace, in the midst of grief and a funeral. There was celebration, there was peace, there was joy even through the tears. Because he walked in a constant state of peace. And that's the invitation for us. Thank the Lord, he doesn't expect us all to memorize the New Testament to do it. The process, because I know it's been a lot. So we're going to recap. And snap a picture, take a note. I don't care, but you need this. We can have peace with God. I'm sorry. We can have the peace of God once we have peace with God through Jesus Christ. Once we are restored to wholeness and the Spirit dwells in us, we are restored to completeness. We can have the peace of God once we have peace with God. We can live in a state of peace when we submit our circumstances to the authority of God's word. We have to deal with it. You can't just rush past it. And peace will sustain an abundant life. It will sustain us when we walk in step with the Spirit. Church, I want to invite you into peace today. Even as we prepare for closing prayer, I want to ask you to close your eyes. And I want to invite you to be honest with God about the place in your life where you are lacking peace. And I want to ask you, challenge you, encourage you, beg you, plead with you to ask the Spirit to show you how to submit to God in that place, to submit to the authority of the Word. And I want you to remember in your circumstance, even as you sit there and you've identified it, I want you to give it to God. I want you to take it to him, because his word says to bring it all to him. It says not to be anxious, but with prayer and petition and thanksgiving to give our request to God. So ask him for help. Ask him to show you. Ask for his presence. Ask for what you need. And anticipate, believe, have faith in the promise that he will not only sustain you, but hold you in his perfect peace.